morning. Oh, it's so good to see everybody here. And I want to make a special announcement that the Easter Bunny has left me a gift. I guess in the wake of last week's sermon. Don't worry, I'm coming back. Talking about weird preachers and hard hats. Somebody needs to get a picture of this and preserve it for posterity. Although I would be, and it is happening. Leave it to the choir, you know. I've seen better film on teeth. Okay. Oh, thank you to whoever was so considerate. I don't know if this means that there will be projectiles hurled at me during the service today, but I will keep it close at hand, I promise you. It's got my name, and it's even got a cross on the back of it. Some might call that a cross mark or a cross hair. I'm not sure, but thank you. This will be treasured for many years yet to come. Oh, and it says, stand firm in your faith, and there is a pink flamingo over here. And all I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. So I am well marked. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Oh, can't wait to get home and share it and not show that to Vicky. We do have some announcements in our life together as church. We are going to start our second Sunday fellowship lunches again. And I have missed those. Well, you can see I haven't missed many meals, but I have missed the fellowship and the joy and the good quality food we have together. So put that on your calendar for August the 13th. And let us know if you're going to be here so we won't run out of food. Not that that has ever happened. Join us for Kid City Christmas in July event. That is tomorrow. And volunteers are needed to help give out books and serve box dinner to participating families. Alice Easley is in charge of all that. And if you find any member of the mission team, they will be happy to sign you up, I'm sure. And of course, the knitting group is continuing to get about their tasks of knitting, I think mostly hats for newborns, isn't it? Who's on the knitting group here? Okay, hats for newborns, is that it? Anything else? Octopi, like the eight-legged things. Okay, I'm just afraid to ask what that might be for, but are those for infants also or for people like me? I will glue it atop my helmet. And people think I'm strange already. Let's not let them think they need to change their minds. All right, any other announcements in our life together as church? It is a joy to be here with you today, and I hope you feel the same. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us greet each other.
Oh, that's crazy.
please stand for the call to worship. The kingdom of heaven is in our midst. The gates of glory stand before us. O come, let us give thanks to our Redeemer. And let us pray. We stand before your gates, O God, with open hands and thankful hearts. We come to hear your voice. May the offering of our lives bring joy to your heart and peace to our souls. Amen. And now hymn 14. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. Far too long, O Lord, we have deceived ourselves. We have believed that our autonomy is absolute and our self-definitions are final. We have recreated ourselves according to our own desires and illusions, like children at play. But you have called us to refine our hopes and lift our visions. Help us to see that your designs for us far exceed anything of which we might dream. Set our feet on the path of repentance and guide us to your reality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Well, do we have any children who are wanting to come down? Ah, here comes Haynes. Okay. Where is Hannah? Do they trust you to come see me without Hannah? She didn't come. And you came without your shoes. I like your white and red socks.
Ah, do you know what a mustard seed is? No. It's a seed from which the mustard plant grows. And I had some at home, but they got so small I lost them. But I have here in my hot, ready little hands, let's see, this is some salt. Okay, now, can you see those individual grains of salt in my hand right there? See how small they are? Yeah? Well, a mustard seed is about three times the size of a grain of salt. But from that little bitty seed, there grows a bush that is taller than this cross. That little bitty seed has everything in it that God put so that it knows when it gets watered and in good soil and gets fertilized, that it can grow into something that big, something taller than you and me. And the birds go and make nests in it, and some animals hide and take shade beneath it. And if you want, you can get some of these packs of salt. They give them away free at McDonald's. Some people have to live on a salt-free diet. And that means you can eat anything you want, but if it tastes good, you have to spit it out.
Now, if it tastes bad, you have to spit it out.
Yeah, and a lot of times it does taste bad and you do spit it out. But that's a medical question I'm not really qualified to answer. Let's remember, from little bitty things, very tall things can grow. And it's all inside that little bitty seed that God has empowered to know everything it needs to know to grow tall and strong.
Like kids can grow?
Like kids can grow. You got it. From a little bitty thing, you grow into something big and smart and tall and strong. You're growing up. Yes. Let's have a prayer together, Haynes. Holy God, we thank you that inside of each and every one of us, you've already given us everything we need to grow and to get strong and to be healthy. And we thank you for all of that. And we just wonder at how smart and wise you are to put great things into small packages. So be with all of our small servants, we pray. And as you bring them into fullness and adulthood, let them stand in awe and wonder at your wisdom, your grace, and your love. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, see you next Sunday.
We forgot to say good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know the drill.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. So our first scripture lesson is from Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Listen for God's word. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in his heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased with Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." And our second scripture this morning comes from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 8. Listen again for God's word. "Likewise, the scripture helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? For God If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Don't know this because I haven't told anybody, but the first time I heard that song, it was at a small Roman Catholic folk mass. Remember those things from years and years ago? And that was where I first got the tinge in my heart that I was going to be going into the ministry. So thank you for bringing that back to me so wonderfully. And thank you, Hilliard, our resident Willie Nelson. And let's work on the beard a little bit. And I really shouldn't go there, should I? No, I don't think so. Pardon my coughing. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 33, and then 45 through 52. And I like to think of this as a shotgun approach of parables of what the kingdom of God is like, because Jesus is literally going to hit everybody between the eyes with this one. So pay attention. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good fish into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They asked. Yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we come before you hearing your word on so many different levels. Confident that your word will reach the tops of our souls to the depths of our hearts. Help us to listen with the fullness of our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have some very rich scripture lessons today, and I don't have time to do all of them. Well, I do because I'm retired, but you know, you don't. You probably want something important like, I don't know, lunch at some point. But I really want to spend some time today with our gospel lesson. But to undergird that lesson, we need to consider the other two, Solomon's Prayer and Paul's great hymn of affirmation. Let's look at Solomon for a moment. He was pretty young when he ascended to the throne, and he had everything going on. He was probably awed and overawed at everything that was coming before him, his responsibilities as king. He did not know who to trust to advise him. He didn't know the customs, the traditions, all of this stuff being thrown at him in the first days and weeks of his administration. And when God asks him, what do you want? He says, just let me understand what's going on here. Give me wisdom and discernment so that I can make some sense out of this mess I suddenly find myself in. And God says, you got a deal. God says, I'm so happy you didn't ask for the superficial things of life, like health, long life, the death of your enemies. All of those things are easily requested and, truth be told, easily done. But you asked on a deeper, deeper level. And that's why this is going to be granted to you. You're going to be given a discerning mind. Now, I like to think that as we age, or some of us just age and never really mature, I'm not pointing any fingers in, but we either get a bit of a discerning mind or we die young. There are some things that I did when I was young that were I to do them now, I would assume room temperature in a heartbeat. Okay? And you've done the same thing. You know, I went to college. Excuse me. Some of it I remember. It was the University of Georgia. But as time passes, and as we learn the lessons of life, our discerning minds begin to develop. As we experience things and meet people and go through relationships, our minds begin to discern what is good and what is bad and what is absolutely terrible. And those of us who are parents, we try to impart some of that wisdom and discernment to our children. And we get very frustrated when we only have very limited degrees of success therein. And then part of our discerning mind tells us, you know, some things they just got to learn on their own. You cannot drive down Highway 99 or 29 in Decatur, Georgia, in that long stretch, and just decide, I'm going to see what Dad's car will do. And the state patrol is right there. And he didn't tell me about it. And the next day, I went and got in my car, and I was going to work, and the check engine light came on. And I took it to my mechanic at the dealership. And he said, Rev, you drive fast. I said, well, no, not as a rule, maybe 5 or 10 miles an hour over the speed limit at times, but, you know, not bad. No, we're talking a whole different school of thought here. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, your number 5 cylinder misfired last night at 10:27 p.m. when your car was going 117 miles an hour. And I said, can you print that out for me? Sure enough. He was one of those tractor feed, remember those things? Gave it to me. I went home and Mac, my oldest, was just kind of waking up, you know, he's 17 years old, got to get his sleep. Dad, what do you want this early in the morning? It's only 10 o'clock. And I held up the little piece of paper and I smiled my best fatherly smile and I said, busted! He did not get behind the steering wheel again for 6 months. The discerning mind is often developed by poor choices. Now he's a very cautious driver. We all begin to develop that discerning mind that God gave to Solomon because Solomon was smart enough to ask for it. The discerning mind. Let's look at Paul. Paul, by the time he's writing that 8th chapter of Romans, with which most of us are very familiar, Paul has already developed that discerning mind. He has had great experience of the Spirit in his life and in his ministry and his various oppressions which happened to him. And he learned that by way of that discerning mind, he could trust God to deliver him from situations from which there seemed to be no escape. From prison, from torture, from beatings. He knew by virtue of experience and that discerning mind that his life, his views, his opinions were not ultimate. That God had a better plan for him. And even if he couldn't see it at the moment, he knew it was out there and he knew he could trust it. What will deliver us? The power of Jesus Christ, and that alone, nothing else. And then we move to our gospel lesson today. We've got the discerning mind. We've got the eternal outlook now. And Jesus is here giving us this smorgasbord of parables. I had a professor in seminary. He said, young preachers, do not ever presume to preach on the parables of Jesus Christ. They are too difficult for the human mind to comprehend. And of course, being me, I raised my hand and I said, well, Professor, isn't that the whole point? And he invited me to attend that class again the next term. Sometimes the discerning mind and the confident attitude will get you in a bit of trouble, particularly in the land of academia. But Jesus is here reaching out to people of every different type and description. Jesus is here trying to find people with different experiences, different outlooks of life, and say to them, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God isn't this, but it's like this. The Western mind has a lot of problems with metaphor. We want everything to be black or white, yes or no, zero or one. The kingdom of God's not like that. Jesus is saying, there is plenty of room in the kingdom of God for everybody, even the weird ones. Okay? Guess what? We're all weird. My granddaughter, bless her heart, Clover, she's had a tough time. And I was trying to impart some grandfatherly advice to her. And she said, Papa Bear, that's what she calls me. Papa Bear, you're just weird. And I said, yes. Guess what? You are too. And we're going to sit here and we're going to be weird together until we figure all of this out. Drove her absolutely crazy. But you know what? I love this last parable. You can see that weird uncle in your family, Uncle Andrew, who keeps talking about the time he threw the net over the side of the boat and pulled in every kind of fish that God ever created, from crappie to marlins, all of them in that net. And we say, yeah, we keep hearing that. He tells that every time we all get together, particularly if he's had a couple of bourbon and branch waters. Aunt Agnes needs to hide that liquor because he's going to tell it again. But you know what's in that net? We're all there. Every kind of fish, every kind of person, every kind of outlook, we're all in that net. And there are people there we may not get along with. There are people there we may not expect to find in that net. And guess what the good news of the gospel is? We don't get to decide who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. We don't do that. We're in sales, not management. And who gets to make those decisions? The angels. The next time you think you know somebody's eternal destination, check your back for wings. If you find some there, let me know and I will pay attention to you. But the chances are that decision is far beyond our pay grade. So what do we do with it? We don't worry about it. We go out and we share the good news of the kingdom, realizing that there are so many different types of fish in that basket, and we're just one of them. And God has made us all different. And God has made every single one of us wonderfully weird in our own way, and that's okay. In fact, that's part of the divine comedy of the drama of the kingdom. We all fit in. All of the puzzle pieces are different, but they all get assembled in the last, and there's room for all of us to be there. In the meantime, we pray for discerning minds and a resilient faith that is open to the possibilities that we're not going to understand everything, and a way of looking at life that includes everybody and everything, and it all comes together in that wonderful banquet when we will all have enough to eat, enough to drink, and love to share. I'm looking forward to that, as long as there's no tapioca pudding, please. Let's pray together. Holy God, the whole world is indeed in your hands, not ours. Remove from us, we pray, the need to judge. And give us, we pray, the joy of discernment and the joy of a strong faith. Help us to learn to lean on you when we don't have all the answers. And help us to learn to lean on each other as we seek day by day to build your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together, let us declare what we believe. Today, we are using a section from the Confession of 1967, part of our Book of Confessions. Let us declare together what we believe. Children of God, what do we believe? In Jesus of Nazareth, true humanity was realized once for all. Jesus, a Palestinian Jew, lived among his own people and shared their needs, temptations, joys, and sorrows. He expressed the love of God in word and deed and became a brother to all kinds of sinful men. But his complete obedience led him into conflict with his people. His life and teaching judged their goodness, religious aspirations, and national hopes. Many rejected him and demanded his death. In giving himself freely for them, he took upon himself the judgment under which all men stand convicted. God raised him from the dead, vindicating him as Messiah and Lord. The victim of sin became victor and won the victory over sin and death for all men. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. It is a strange time, O Lord. The climate, which was never in our control, seems to be less so. Peace seems to be an increasingly rare commodity. Hatred seems to be blooming its blossoms in more violent ways. Greed is ever present, and our inhumanity to each other seems to be growing. Lord, we are scared when we watch the morning news or read the paper or listen to the radio, because we don't know what is going on, but we do know that you know, and therein we take our comfort. Help us, O Lord, to be the standard bearers of your kingdom, of peace, of love, of inclusion and diversity. Lord, in your mercy, send us, we pray, not into the world as victims of oppression, but rather as victors in the kingdom. Touch our souls with your eternal zeal. Set our vision upon the things of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear. Speak to us individually and corporately. Speak to those who are our leaders. Speak to those who come before us so that we may find common cause with them and each other, and so bring about unity of vision and hope, Lord, in your mercy. And gather us under your loving arms. Speak to us words of peace and comfort, even as we pray together the prayer which your Son, our Lord, taught us to pray, saying boldly, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Oh Lord, we receive a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply these gifts by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded, and strengthen our souls in the giving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gladsome mind, praise the Lord who
And now go forth from this place in peace. Laugh a lot. Love even more. Live life as a gift given to you in the joy of God's grace. Watch for falling rocks. And be sure that even if you do get bonked on the head, God will be there to kiss the boo-boo better. In the name of God, the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.